This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on African News Tonight.
We are concerned because in the past, xenophobic protests have resulted in into violence and looting of foreign-owned shops.
That was Collins Mgbo, president of the Nigerian Union in South Africa, on concern that demonstrations against migrant workers could turn violent. Details are coming up. Also, three Turkish nationals and their Somali driver were badly wounded by a roadside bomb in Mogadishu. These stories and more on African News Tonight. We start with our top story. Today, in Lusaka, former Zambian President Rupia Banda was laid to rest a week after his death. The invitation-only ceremony included Zambian and regional leaders, and the speakers emphasized Banda's legacy of building peace and unity. VOA's Kate Pond-Dawson spoke with reporter Cathy Kate Short in Lusaka about the ceremony.
It was such a beautiful ceremony. And I must say, as the casket was being moved from the hospital right to the ceremony, hundreds of Lusaka residents braved the rains to have a last glimpse of the late former president. And also his family, led by his widow, Tandwe, gave tribute. And the widow indicated that he was the best husband that she could have ever asked for. And also we had his children speak, and his grandchildren, and also one of his best friends, the longest best friend that he had for 71 years. And all of these people, as they spoke and gave tribute to the man that is being buried today, they all indicated he was a good man. He had a big heart. He was charismatic, energetic, and had such an illustrious career. And he also emphasized peace, unity, joy, excellence, and coexistence.
Now, tell us about the burial ground. This is the presidential burial site for all of Zambia's presidents. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. He is being buried at the presidential burial site at Embassy Park in Lusaka, where all the four late presidents of Zambia are buried. Kenneth Kaunda, Michael Sata, there's also Frederick Chiluba, as well as Levin Mwanawasa.
Now, who are among the those invited?
Those invited are the dignitaries from Zambia, as well as the region. We have a former Mozambican president, Joaquim Chissano, attending. And we also have Jakaya Kikwete, the former Tanzanian president, attending, amongst other dignitaries. We have also President Edgar Lungu, former President Edgar Lungu, attending with his wife. We also have many ambassadors and high commissioners that are representing many different countries, not only from Africa, but from Europe and also the United States. Also, all the opposition leaders braved, all the differences that they have and attended this burial. Even President Hakainde Hichilema, in his speech, indicated and acknowledged the opposition leaders, and he also encouraged Zambians to ensure that they look at other people from their positive sides, because that's what Arabi, as he was fondly known, Rupia Bwezani Banda, left that legacy of looking at people not because they were, they had negatives and they had weaknesses. He looked at their positive side instead and celebrated that.
That was journalist Cathy Kate Short in Lusaka speaking with my colleague Kate Pond-Dawson. Short also said that in his speech today, Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema urged younger Zambians to emulate the late President Banda's legacy of building peaceful coexistence. The U.S. Treasury Department has imposed sanctions over illicit exports of gold from the Congo. According to Reuters, the U.S. has targeted Belgian businessman Alan Gowitzi's African Gold Refinery, AGR, and other companies tied to him. The U.S. says Gowitz and the companies have contributed to armed conflict by receiving gold from the DRC, Kenya, South Sudan, and Tanzania without questioning its origin. The U.S. says the illicit gold provides revenues for armed groups that threaten peace and security in the region. Alan Gowitz has dismissed the accusation. He says the U.S. has not presented evidence to back up its claim and that he was confident the situation will be rectified. Three Turkish nationals and their Somali driver were badly wounded by a roadside bomb Thursday in Mogadishu's Talhey neighborhood. Mohammed Sheikh Noor reports from Mogadishu.
Police in Mogadishu said four people were injured when a roadside bomb detonated as their vehicle traveled through the Talhey neighborhood. Police officer who spoke to VOA from the scene confirmed that three Turkish nationalists and their Somali driver were wounded. The officer said the Turkish nationalists are in Mogadishu for private business. According to the police, the businessmen may have been the target of the bombing. Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for the attack over Radio Andalus. Thursday's bombing isn't the first time Turkish nationalists visiting Somalia have been attacked. Turkey plays a major role in Somalia's recovery efforts, training the country's security forces and undertaking vast infrastructure projects. It also operates its biggest foreign military base in Mogadishu, where it trains Somali troops. The latest attack comes as the country has repeatedly delayed its elections, missing deadlines, and creating an uncertainty that makes the country vulnerable to attacks by insurgents. Militants have recently increased attacks to undermine the ongoing electoral process. Mohammed Sheikh Noor for VOA, Mogadishu, Somalia.
Cameroon says several hundred separatists fighting to create an English-speaking state in the majority French-speaking country have fled military raids to the Nigerian border. Military officials this week visited western villages and asked residents to report suspected separatists and armed men harassing merchants and cattle ranchers. Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Cameroon says calm is gradually returning to several towns in its English-speaking western regions after the military launched raids on separatist strongholds during the past month. The military says government troops carried out operations in many western towns and villages, including Kumbu, Ndop, Wum, Bafut, and Kom. The military says at least 20 separatist fighters were killed, but no government troops were wounded. General Valen Carr is the commander of Cameroonian troops fighting separatists in the English-speaking northwest region. Carr says several hundred fighters escaped to villages along Cameroon's western border with Nigeria. He says government troops have been deployed to stop fighters from stealing goods and money from merchants and cattle from ranchers in border localities.
The President of the Republic, President Paul Biya, Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, has sent the Defense and Security Forces to protect you, not to kill you. We need your total collaboration to better secure you.
Nkar spoke during a visit to several border villages this week, including Fungom, Bafmen, Aba, and Bayama. His message was broadcast on Cameroon State Radio CRTV several times this week. The military did not say how many troops have been deployed or how long the troops are expected to stay along the border with Nigeria. Nelson Gbey is spokesperson of the Aba Village Development Committee on the border with Nigeria. He says a military post is needed in the village to protect civilians from separatist fighters. He says hundreds of the fighters are hiding in the bush along the border, especially in Fungum district.
Our children are facing harassment. Lower Fungum has no security post. The people there are exposed to insecurities. We plead to the general to create military units because we believe that if there is that military unit, it will beef up security of the subdivision.
Bwe said the separatists have seized at least 90 cows from ranchers within 3 weeks. He said fighters have abducted for ransom at least 13 civilians, especially merchants doing business between Cameroon and Nigeria. On social media platforms, including Facebook and WhatsApp, the separatists have denied the loss of 20 fighters. The separatists say their presence in border localities is a tactical withdrawal to prepare and face government troops. The fighters deny they are harassing civilians, as the government claims, and insist that they are out to protect English speakers from Cameroon military brutality. Cameroon's military has always denied it abuses civilians' rights. Separatists have been fighting since 2017 to carve out an independent English-speaking state in majority French-speaking Cameroon. The crisis started when English-speaking teachers and lawyers protested the dominance of French in official government business and education. The government responded with a crackdown, and separatists took up weapons. The United Nations says at least 3,300 people have been killed, with 750,000 internally displaced. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here's a recap of our top stories. The U.S. has sanctioned a Belgian businessman, accusing him of smuggling illegal gold from conflict areas in Africa. And three Turkish nationals and their Somali driver were badly wounded by a roadside bomb in Mogadishu. Thanks for listening to VOA Africa. And for more news and information, visit our website at voanews.com. The leadership of the Nigerian community in South Africa has appealed to President Cyril Ramaphosa to ensure the safety of foreign nationals following a series of demonstrations by some South Africans against migrant workers. Mike Mbonye reports from Lagos.
Nigerians and other foreign nationals living in South Africa are worried that demonstrations against migrant workers, known as Operation Dudula, the Zulu word for drive out, could turn violent. About 700,000 Nigerians live in South Africa. Colin Simbo is the president of Nigerian Union in South Africa, the umbrella body of Nigerians resident in that country. He says similar demonstrations in previous years led to the loss of lives and property.
We are concerned because in the past, public protests have resulted in into violence and looting of foreign-owned shops. In 2008, attacks against foreigners left at least 62 people dead, whereas in 2015, seven innocent African brothers were killed. Armed mobs descended on foreign-owned businesses in Johannesburg in 2019, and another mob attack left at least 12 people dead.
An estimated 3 million migrants from other African countries live in South Africa. Since 2008, anti-foreigner sentiment has flared up periodically, with some South African citizens blaming migrants for crime or for taking jobs in a country where the unemployment rate is nearly 40%. In the past few months, there has been a significant rise in xenophobic attitudes, with some political leaders saying the country needs to tighten its immigration policies to prevent those who enter the country illegally from working. Human rights activists and others in South Africa have said the problem with unemployment is due to government economic failures and not immigrants. Mbo says the leadership of the Nigerian community in South Africa has sent a message to President Cyril Ramaphosa to intervene and save foreign nationals from any possible violent attacks.
Nigerian Union South Africa is also using this opportunity to appeal to the President of South Africa to do whatever necessary to help and protect the lives, the properties, and the belongings of foreigners in South Africa. We have every belief and hope in the country and in the law enforcement agencies. And we know that the President will protect Nigerians in South Africa and other foreign nationals.
Mbo says the leadership of the union has advised Nigerians to be law-abiding and avoid acts that can cause trouble with their hosts. This is Mike Mbonye for VOA News in Lagos.
The Nigerian Economic and Financial Crimes Commission has rejected reports that former Anambra State Governor Willie Obiano has been freed. Obiano has been accused of mismanagement of funds. Commission spokesperson Wilson Uwujaren told local media that Obiano was taken from Lagos to Abuja this morning. South African medical students who were evacuated from Ukraine are now looking for ways to complete their studies. South African universities are discussing options for the students, some of whom are still shaken by the attacks they witnessed and are fearful for teachers and classmates left behind. Vicky Stark reports from Cape Town, South Africa.
Concerned students have launched a Save Our Studies campaign with the goal of helping about 50 repatriated medical students find spots at South African universities. 25-year-old Mandisa Malindisa, a fourth-year medical student who was studying in Kharkiv National Medical University, is one of those who wants to get placed. Her studies were interrupted when Russian forces entered Ukraine the last week in February. She says that after a few days of hearing bombs in Kharkiv, a city in eastern Ukraine, she and five friends decided to flee by train to the Hungarian border. The scene at the train station, she says, was pure chaos.
Everybody's losing their mind. Everybody's trying to get on it. People have knives out. People are screaming. People are fighting. People are biting each other. You know, just trying to get onto this train. We were just watching because we were like, no, this is not our train. This train is going to Kyiv. This is not for us.
Eventually, a train that would take them to Lviv did arrive, but much to their horror, it stopped in Kyiv, which they'd been hoping to avoid because it's a high-risk area. They waited there for 6 hours.
That's when we saw what Kyiv actually looks like. Everything is just burning. There's smoke. Like, everyone just looking outside the window in just terror.
After 24 hours, they reached Lviv, and Malindisa made her way into Hungary, where she managed to book a flight home. Sixth-year medical student Lupumlo Ntengu is also hoping to be able to continue his studies in South Africa. He was studying at Venezia National Medical University in Ukraine. Safely home now in South Africa, he says he often thinks about those he left behind.
Yeah, I am really worried about my friends and my teacher, you know. Ukraine has been my home for the past 6 years. So it's so sad, everything that is going on there right now. It feels like it's my own home that is being destroyed like that.
The chairperson of the South African Committee of Medical Deans, Professor Lionel Green-Thompson, confirmed that schools are discussing ways to help the repatriated students.
Issues relating to students in Ukraine have been brought to the attention of the South African Committee of Medical Deans. We have initiated conversations around this issue. The responses are complex and we continue to discuss these things.
But finding places may be problematic. Many other South African students who returned from abroad due to the COVID-19 pandemic have also been seeking placement. Vicky Stark for VOA News, Cape Town, South Africa.
President Cyril Ramaphosa and his entire cabinet will face separate motions of no confidence in Parliament at the end of this month. Two opposition parties are behind the motions. One is probing Ramaphosa's financial dealings during his election as the ruling African National Congress president, while the other wants the entire cabinet booted out for non-performance. Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
The African Transformation Movement, ATM Party, accuses President Cyril Ramaphosa of receiving funds from dodgy companies and individuals during his campaign to become the president of the ruling African National Congress in 2017. Ramaphosa's campaign team received over $33,000 from POSASA, a company that was found to have paid and done favors for many ANC officials in return for getting government contracts. Ramaphosa has since returned the funds, and the courts and the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture and Corruption found he had done nothing wrong. However, the ATM says that's not good enough. 2 years ago, it submitted a motion of no confidence, which stalled because of procedural issues and the COVID-19 pandemic. The party resubmitted the motion last month, and it will go forward. During the recent discussion of President Ramaphosa's State of the Nation address, Democratic Alliance Party leader John Steenhuisen declared a second motion of no confidence targeting the entire cabinet. He told President Ramaphosa the entire cabinet was incompetent.
If it's not possible for you to do right by the people of South Africa, then we're going to take the burden off your hands and let this house fire them for you. Because we cannot sit through another year of your talk while our country slides further and further backwards and millions more of our citizens fall into poverty and unemployment.
The Speaker of Parliament, Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula, last week told the Parliamentary Programming Committee that both motions will be debated and votes held on March 30th. The Speaker said the votes will be open. The opposition parties have demanded a secret ballot instead. They argue that an open ballot will deter the ruling African National Congress members who want to vote against their president and cabinet. This is what Natasha Mazone, a member of the Democratic Alliance Party, argued during the committee meeting.
Open vote on an issue such as this will be very, very concerning to many members of Parliament, and I don't think that it will be fair.
Voting will be done virtually because of the fire that damaged the Parliament building early this year. The chief whips of parties will collect the votes from members and declare whether they support the motion or not. The opposition says that benefits the ANC, since it commands the majority and its members will be reluctant to openly go against the leadership. Tuso Kumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. On behalf of our producer, Nadia Taha, thank you again for tuning in and choosing the Voice of America.
Love music from Africa and the world? VOA has the latest hits, interviews with the artists, and we are glad to take your requests. The Voice of America has what you're looking for. We have music shows to please everyone. Join us on the radio or on the internet to listen day or night. Go to voanews.com and voaafrica.com and click on your favorite program. Just follow your ears. Music from Africa and the world. We've got it on VOA.
Hello, sports fans. This is the Voice of America's Sonny Young. Please join me Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC for the sunny side of sports. On Fridays, you can also hear my expanded 30-minute edition of the show at 17:30 UTC, right here on the English to Africa service of the Voice of America.